Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Worse to where now the rest in between didn't help. My throat was constantly sore. So I decided to go to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. He did a bunch of tests. I came back and he said, "Craig, there is absolutely nothing physically wrong with you." He said, "You have stress. You have anxiety." And I'm going, "I don't feel stressed. I mean, I feel I have the same amount of stress as I've always had. I'm not anxious." He says, "You are stressed out. You're full of anxiety and worry. And there's nothing I can do for you. I can give you some tranquilizers. I can give you some, you know, antidepressants. I can give you some medication." I says, "No way, I'm not going to do that." And so here I am. It's like, I have worry and anxiety, but I don't know that I have worry and anxiety. So now I really am worried, because I don't know what to get rid of in my life to take care of the worry and the anxiety. How many can understand that? Yeah, now I really do have fear. So I went to God, and I begin to pray. I says, "God, what do I do? How do I overcome this?" He says, "I've got fear. I don't know I've got fear. I don't know I have anxiety and worry." And the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 8. And friends, this passage of Scripture changed my life. What I'm sharing with you today is not just a nice, sermon, okay? This works. This will change your life. This is a formula to help you fight fear, depression, discouragement, worry, lack of peace, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. This is a formula for victory in your life. Philippians 4, verse 4. Let's begin reading. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes." Oh, thank you. How often? Always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let us pray this morning. Father, I pray today that your word would become flesh in us. Lord, for those that are grappling with fear, Lord, they're wrestling with doubt, with discouragement, with depression. Lord, those that are just, their stomachs are bound up in anxiety, their throats are tight with worry, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would defeat the tactics of the enemy. Lord, that your word would take root in our lives. I pray you'd begin to transform us, that you would help us to be people of victory, a people that walk with joy, so that when the world sees us, they would say, "What is it that you have? I don't understand it. Everything's falling apart in your life, but you're on top of the world." Lord, I pray that you would help us to be overcomers. Lord, I pray for breakthroughs and deliverance in your people today. Give us faith to believe that you can do it for us. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. In your notes this morning, there are 7 steps that will help you and I fight and conquer fear. And if we apply these on a continual basis in our lives, we can experience ongoing victory. Step number one, the first key to conquering fear, to fighting fear, is to rejoice. I want you to say it with me. Rejoice. It's to rejoice by praising and worshiping God. That's what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The interesting thing is that when Paul wrote this, he's in prison. He's in prison. Now, I don't know about you, but if I am sitting on a nice resort in Hawaii, it's easy to say rejoice. You know, if I'm living in some beautiful palace with a great big bank account, it's easy to say rejoice. But it's another thing when you're sitting in Alcatraz. It's another thing when there's concrete and steel bars in front of you and you have no freedom. And you've lost your reputation, and people are against you, and your life is on the line. And that's the situation Paul is in, and Paul says, rejoice. And when he says the word re, it means go back to. God is the source of your joy. Go back and return to the source of your joy. So many times we make things and circumstances, possessions and people are source of joy, and that's not joy. That's happiness. Happiness is based on your happenings. If your happenings are good, I'm happy. If my happenings are bad, I am unhappy. Happiness goes up and down like a roller coaster. But Jesus said, I give you a joy that the world doesn't give you, and the world can't take it away. Remember that old song, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away? The world didn't give it to me. Come on, sing it with me. And the world can't take it away. Oh boy, are you awake? This happy face that I'm wearing, you know my Jesus put it there to stay, because the world didn't give it to me. But that driver in the next lane to me sure can take it away. We lose our joy so easily because we take our eyes off Jesus. When you're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you and I will have joy. I can identify every time in my life when I'm discouraged, frustrated, fearful, angry, whatever, I have stopped looking at Jesus. And I am looking at my problem, I'm looking at people, I'm looking at possessions to make me happy, I'm looking at circumstances, and how life goes determines my joy, and that's not what God intended for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So those moments you feel the love of God and the closeness of God, when you're on the mountaintop, His love and His power hasn't changed when you're down in the valley. He is the same. When you're down in the valley, when you're in the wilderness feeling nothing, or when you're on the mountaintop. And God wants us to look at Him. Last week we saw the children of Israel looked at the giants. They stopped looking at God. They stopped rejoicing that God had brought them out of Egypt, that God had provided water, that God had provided food, and that when they came out of Egypt, the Egyptians gave them all their riches. They stopped looking that God had promised them the promised land, and they looked at people instead of looking at God. We need to look at God and rejoice and praise Him. You know, Pastor Todd and I have talked about this. But sometimes, boy, on a Sunday morning service when we start out, we just feel like getting a razor blade. Because, I mean, no, I'm kidding, not that. But there are sometimes we come to church and we're praising and worshiping God, and you look out and some people are like, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Maybe I will too. What a mighty God we serve. I mean, there's no joy. I don't know if we stayed out too late partying or if we came in preoccupied with all the junk that has happened this week and we haven't prepared ourselves to worship God. Because I know some people, when I was a youth pastor, we went to camp and there were kids, first camp song, oh yeah, God's great, yeah, and they're in worshiping God? Come back to youth group next week, hands in pockets. Did God change from the week at camp to the week coming back to church? No, it's the expectation changed. You see, God is the same. And when we come to church, He wants us to worship Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, what's on the outside is a reflection of what's He doing on the inside. And here's an interesting thing. There are many times in your life you don't feel like worshiping God. And by the way, if you're worshiping at home, it's a whole lot easier to worship in church. And there are times you're not going to feel like rejoicing in God and worshiping God, but worship is a choice of your will. Take a look. I think we have these scripture verses up on the screen. Psalm 86:12, David said, "I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." It is a matter of the will, not a matter of feeling. If I'm waiting for the worship team to whip me up, or if I'm waiting for God to change the circumstances in my life to make things better, so now that I feel like worshiping and I feel like glorifying, that's not real joy and not real worship. That's just using God. And a sacrifice of praise is praising Him when you don't feel like it. All throughout the Bible, it talks about "I will." Psalm 34:1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." In the movie Facing the Giants, the coach says, "When we win, we'll praise Him. When we lose, we'll praise Him." That needs to be our life. When I'm winning, I praise Him. When I'm losing, I praise Him. I will bless the Lord at all times, not just when I feel about it, not just when things are going well. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I need to work on that because I don't have a continual mouth of praise in my own life. It is so easy to have a mouth of complaining or criticism or doubt or worry. And God wants us to have a mouth of praise because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What my mouth says reveals what's in my heart. It goes on in Psalm 5:11. It says, "Let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy." Okay, did you hear that? Let all those who rejoice, are you rejoicing? Let them shout for joy. When's the last time you've shouted? Besides when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. I mean, hey, if you're waiting for that, you're going to wait a long time. I've waited a long time. All my teams have been beaten out of the NCAA. We can cheer for a pigskin filled with air crossing a white line in grass. We can cheer for calfskin filled with air going through an orange metal hoop. But we can't cheer and shout for the God of heaven who saved us. Yeah. Did you realize the word shout is used 43 times in the Bible and 36 of those are shouting for God? How much do we shout for God? Amen. I don't feel like it. What does God have to do to make you feel like shouting? Win the publisher's clearinghouse, sweepstakes to $10 million? What about rescuing you from an eternity in hell and making you a king and a priest and giving you an inheritance in heaven where you'll live forever? Amen? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, to publish his clearinghouse, and lose his own soul? See, when you put it in perspective like that, I have reason to shout and to rejoice every day. I need to choose to rejoice. Psalm 63:4, "I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." I encourage you, when you're at home, praise Him and lift your hands up and worship Him. This is what happens. When you don't feel like worshiping Him, when you begin to open your mouth and sing, when you begin to clap your hands, when you begin to shout, when you begin to lift your hands, what that does is that you are engaging the physical, and as you act on the physical, it stirs the spiritual. There's something about when we do it physically, not just, well, I'm rejoicing in my mind. When I do it physically, it breaks the chains. Paul and Silas are sitting in prison, and they're chained. They're stuck in prison, and they begin to praise and sing to God. What were they singing when that happened? What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve! You know, God's up in heaven. God says, what's that? What do I hear? What a mighty God. God starts tapping his toe. Yeah, I like that. What a mighty God we serve. And God starts tapping, and the jail starts shaking, and the chains start to rattle, and they come off, and the doors fly open. Praise breaks through. I will bless him at all times. I will lift up my hands. I will shout. I will glorify the Lord at all times. Psalm 145:2, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever. Psalm 19:14, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. Psalm 63:7, because you've been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Choose with your will to overcome your feelings and rejoice in God instead of looking at your circumstances. That is key. Because until God is your focus, you won't experience victory. This is the first step. This is the first step. The second key to fighting fear is relinquish control of the situation. Relinquish control of the situation. There once was a truck driver who was in a diner having pie, coffee, and a hamburger, and three motorcycle riders came in, and one of them grabbed his hamburger and began to eat it. The other one took his cup of coffee, began to drink it. The other one took his pie and just wolfed it down. The truck driver quietly got up and just walked out the diner, and the three motorcycle riders, they began doing fist punches and high five and said, "Woo, we sure showed him, yeah." And they're just slapping each other back, commenting on how great of a job they did, how they put him to shame. One of the motorcycle riders says, "Yeah, he wasn't much of a man, was he?" And the cashier said, "And he's not much of a driver either. His truck just ran over three motorcycles." That is not relinquishing control of a situation. That's taking matters in your own hands. Now that sure sounds nice, you know, in a story. But sometimes in our own life, when things go bad, we grab on and I have got to solve this. Now I'm not saying that we are lazy and do nothing and don't fulfill our responsibilities. You do that, it gets you in trouble. David fell into adultery with Bathsheba because at a time when the kings went out to war, David stayed back in Jerusalem and didn't do what he was supposed to do. I'm not saying being lazy, but there is a place in our life where we do everything that is right and we leave the results up to God. If we say, well, to make this work out, I have to do something that doesn't line up with Scripture, I have to do something underhanded, that's wrong. And there are some people, because of worry and fear, they don't let go of control. They do everything in their power, even if it's the wrong thing. And this is what Paul says. He says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. I want you to write in your Bibles, next to the word gentleness, yieldedness. That's what the word really means. Let your yieldedness be made known to all men. Yield the situation to him. I remember that's where I was at with my throat. It's like, God, I can do nothing. I'm not even aware of what I'm afraid of, what I'm stressed out about. So God, I give it to you. I yield it to you, and I'm not going to worry about how it turns out. There are so many times something happens, and I think we secretly carry it, and we're not laying it at the feet of Jesus. I think sometimes we're afraid to be honest with God. Sometimes we're afraid to be honest with ourselves that we have this problem. Until we face it with honesty, like we talked about last week, until we're honest with ourselves and we give it to God, God can't move. And so it's just relinquish control. Lord, I yield my throat to you. Lord, I yield my job situation to you. I yield my finances. Lord, I yield this sickness. God, I'm leaving the results up to you. I'm going to do everything in my power according to the word of God. But God, it's up to you. I'm not going to try to work it out in my own power. I relinquish control to God. Is there anything you're holding on to today? You say, man, I just don't know if I can trust God to take care of this. What is so big that you can't trust God? Is there anything that is too strong and too powerful for God? No. Does he not love you enough? Is he not looking out for your best interests? Is he going to be mean to you? No. When you think about it, there is no reason for us to hang on to our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our discouragement, our depression. We can just yield everything to him. It's a total surrender. God, I don't care what happens. If I win, I praise you. If I lose, I praise you. I've surrendered to you. My life is in your hands. That's what God is really looking for. Sometimes he lets problems come to us because he wants us to learn to surrender. Surrender to him. That's where you find real peace. Step number three, the third key for fighting fear, is realize God is near. Realize God is near. Look at verse 5. Let your gentleness, your yieldiness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Friends, we can yield control of the situation because God is near. God is not far. He's right there with you. Right now, he's sitting right next to Ashley. He's sitting right next to Angela and to Megan and to Brittany. He's sitting next to each and every one of us. You get in your car and you leave here today, he is with you. You go to work tomorrow in maybe a very negative environment, he is with you. Everywhere you go, he is with you. It's not that he's stronger here in church than he is at home. He is the same. He's up on the mountaintop, down in the valley, down in the depths of the ocean. There is nowhere you can run from the presence of God. He is with you. So realize he's near. I love that song, I Am a Friend of God. He calls me friend. Jesus has come near because he died on the cross, and if I ask him to forgive me of my sin and to be the Lord of my life, he is with me. And he is near. Did you know he wants to be your best friend? He wants to be your best friend. He is with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's never abandoned you. He's never walked out on you. Jesus is near. Once upon a time, there was a little three-year-old. There was a big burst of thunder, and she came running into her parents' bedroom, and she said, Mama, I'm scared. The mom said, you know what? God is with you. He's right there. Go back to bed. Little girl started to, and she stopped and turned in the doorway, and she says, Mommy, why don't you go in there with God? I want to stay here with Daddy. Sometimes it feels like the little girl, we can't see God. We can see Daddy or Mommy. Even when you don't see God, he is there. Even when you don't feel God, you pray and your prayers come flying back in your face and you say, what good is it? He is there. And you see, that's where we talked about face it with the word. That's where you come to these verses and you say, God is here with me. He hasn't left me. And you begin to stand on the word of God, not by how you feel. So getting in the word is vitally, vitally important. Number four, the fourth thing is refuse to be anxious. Paul says, he said, be anxious for nothing. That is a command. He says, do not be anxious. And so it's a command. If I am anxious, then I am sinning. So I need to say, I will not be anxious. When I had my throat, I said that. I will not be anxious. I don't know what I'm not being anxious about, but I will not be anxious. It sounds kind of funny, but I had to say, I will not be anxious. God is with me. God loves me. I praise him. I worship him. I yield this to you, God. And I just replayed these steps over and over. They were all just becoming part of who God wanted me to be. You can be worried about your marriage, about your children, about your finances, about your job. Whatever it is today, say no more. I won't be anxious about it. Last Sunday morning, we talked about Satan's going to come back and say, oh, you weren't cured of your fear last Sunday. When that feeling comes back, refuse to be anxious. Don't allow it to be there. Acknowledge that, God, I'm feeling anxious again. I'm not going to let it stay here. Refuse to be anxious. Number five, request help and thank God for his answer. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Friends, everything is to go to God in prayer. Everything. Don't hold anything back. Be completely honest and open with him. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, sometimes we go to our friends instead of going to God. He says, we're talking to everyone else but never praying. We spend all our time bringing our hurts and frustrations just to our friends instead of to the Lord as well. Not that he can't use our friends to help us, but going to them is no substitute for coming to him. In fact, going to our friends can become a subtle way of avoiding the Father and actually dealing with the problem. We say we're seeking help when what we're really seeking is another opportunity to vent our anger at the person who has hurt us and to gain a little more sympathy from our friends. Friends, when you have problems, who's the first one you go to? Hey, Matilda, you know what I'm going through? I mean, who do you call? Do you call a friend? Do you call a sister? Do you call a brother? Do you call someone else? Or do you dial heaven 911? God wants us to be the first person we go to. Bring everything to him in prayer. And it says supplication. Supplication is a term that's stronger than just a request. It means that you beg and plead. When's the last time you've really begged and pleaded God for something? That's the term of supplication. So it's an intense prayer. It's not, oh God, take care of the situation. Amen. It means you are going after God with an intensity level. And when we go after him with sincerity of heart and fervency, that's what helps eliminate the fear. And then it says, with thanksgiving. Even though God hasn't answered it, begin to thank him right now. Lord, I thank you that you're removing my fear. I thank you that you're healing my throat. God didn't do it overnight. It was a period of months. Probably about 5-6 months later, I realized one day, I don't have a tight throat anymore. It took a long time. I had to thank him for something I never saw. That's what faith is. Paul says, hey, don't hold it. Let it go. Pray to him. Plead with him. And thank him that he is taking care of your need. It is powerful. It is powerful. What is the result of doing that? Look at verse 7. The result of this is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you go through these steps, if you rejoice, if you relinquish control, if you realize God is near, you refuse to be anxious, and that you're giving your request to God and you're thanking Him, God's peace will come. I had to stand on it and say, God, I accept your peace. Your word says that I'm having peace right now. I thank you for your peace. It's guarding my heart, guarding my mind. It's cleansing my body of the fear. God wants to work on your behalf. Step number 6, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, anything virtuous, anything praiseworthy, think on it. Meditate on it. I committed this portion of Scripture to memory. And throughout the day, I kept renewing my mind in the Word of God. This is what God says, how to overcome fear and anxiety. And I just renewed my mind. I felt the tightness there. I began to rejoice. I began to relinquish. I began to request. I had to do it over and over and over. And I encourage you, what are you dealing with today? Find scriptures that you can begin to renew your mind with and make it part of your life, because the Word is life. The Word is power. The Word defeats the enemy. It defeats discouragement. It defeats depression. It defeats fear and worry. The Word is helps you become a warrior instead of a worrier. I'm going to say that again. The Word helps you be a warrior, not a worrier. When you don't have the Word, you will worry. But when you have the Word, you rise up in faith and power. Step number 7, repeat the previous 6 steps as often as necessary. Man, there was days, I don't know how many times I repeated, okay, rejoice, I'm rejoicing, okay, I went through rejoicing, okay, I'm giving this control to you, I yield it to you, God, I relinquish control, okay, Lord, you're right here, you're with me, I refuse to be anxious, God, I give it to you, I thank you for taking care of it, I got peace, amen. 10 minutes later, it's tight, okay, God, I'm not going to accept the tightness here, God, you're helping me. I just kept renewing my mind, kept going through it over and over and over. What are you struggling with today? Worship team, would you come this morning? What are you dealing with? Maybe you're struggling with fear, anxiety, worry, depression, discouragement. Friends, whatever it is, the formula for fighting it is in Philippians. It starts with a choice. Do you want to be an overcomer? Do you want to have victory? The verse that Ashley read today, it talked about we have victory, we have triumph. God wants you and I to triumph. There are so many things in this world that are so temporal, and we have a home in heaven. We're saved from our sin. Maybe you're not saved from your sin. That's really the first step. You see, God loves you so much, He wants a relationship with you and I. But our sin separates us from God. Our sin keeps us from experiencing His love. Our sin will send us to an eternity in hell. And what Jesus died, He lived a sinless life, and He died to take my sin away, to take your sin away. And for me, for us to experience that, we need to confess our sin and ask Him to forgive us. We need to ask Him to take control of our life, to be our leader, to be our Lord. Because you see, this whole thing about fighting fear stems out of a relationship with God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly. where relationships matter most.